15 this morning. John 15. Appreciate the good singing today, and I appreciate you being here. And I won't name who it is, Brian Haynes sent me a dirty message last night during the ball game, and you'll notice I don't have on an orange tie today because my team did not win, and they didn't come close to winning. But that's all right. I was telling, I walked upstairs after that game, and the dog was barking at me and growling at me. And I said, "Dog, you do not realize I am not in a good mood. This is not a time for you to be messing with me today." But, I wasn't happy. Amen. I was not happy yesterday. But went yesterday to the gun show over in Winston. And I told someone, they said, you know what's great about America? Think about this. You can go to a place that has guns and ammunition, coffee, and salsa all in the same place. That's a pretty sweet deal if you ask me. Amen. And they had samples, and that fella, he was, he was a veteran, and he made his own salsa. And he said, "Would you like to try some?" I said, "I feel like I'd be insulting him if I didn't try his salsa." And Junior Presley went with me, and Junior said, "I want the real hot stuff." And I think even Junior got a little bit more than he bargained for with that real hot stuff. It's like we'll have dinner, you know, down with the Spanish church, and they like things a little spicier than I like it. And so I'll say, now they'll have different kinds of salsa. Brother Brad, I'll say, "Now, is that hot?" And they say, "Oh, no, Pastor, that's not hot." I said, "So I learned to do this, Brother Kenneth." I said, "Is that hot for a gringo?" They said, "Oh, yes." And so I know to stay away from that. Amen. Amen. So everybody's definition of hot's a little different, isn't it? John chapter 15. Let's stand together. We'll begin reading in verse number 9. The Bible said, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Well, let's stay there for a little bit. He didn't say, "This is my opinion." He said, "This is my commandment." He didn't say, "Just love each other." He said, "You love each other the way I love you." Now, if you're going to receive the love of Christ, you have to give that same love to other people, right? "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." That's great love. But do you realize that Christ laid down his life for his enemies? Not just his friends, his enemy. You realize before you got saved, you were the enemy of God? He laid down his life for his enemies. Bible said in verse 14, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what is his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." There it is again. "If the world hates you," or "the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world, the world would love his own. But because ye are not of this of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." So if you're hated by the world, guess what? You're in good company. "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father," notice this, "he shall testify of me." The Holy Spirit makes much of Jesus. The Holy Spirit makes much of the Son. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God, and thank you for Lord, as we've just heard, those that are going through struggles and trials in their life, they're going through storms. I pray that you lift them above the storm, help them as they go through it, Father, I pray. And if there'd be just one here that does not know Christ as Savior, touch their hearts. We want to exalt you and magnify you in all that's done. And let us see that the challenge is before the conflict, Lord. Help us today to see your hand lifted up. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. John 15 begins. We look in the garden of Gethsemane, or vineyard, and stresses the importance of our dependence on the Lord. I want to say this again, without the Lord you can't do anything of eternal value. You may be able to do some things for a while, but the fact is, without the Lord we can't do anything. And so without Him we can do nothing, but with Him all things are possible. And we need Him for everything, but especially when it comes to spiritual battles. You know, it's amazing how, again, we know this, but I want to remind you again how God, His hand is in everything that we do. We realize that today, as we look at the message, the challenge before the conflict, that there's always challenges, there's always battles. We preached not long ago on this thought, that after water comes war. After we see a great blessing of God, after God seems like He pours out His Spirit. Last week, I'll be honest with you, Sunday morning and Sunday night, it was one of those days of spiritual ecstasy almost, where you just say, man, all day was good. But if we're not careful, on the back side of that is a struggle, is a conflict, is a battle. And some of you this morning are going through some pretty big spiritual battles in your life, and you think that it might be abnormal, but the fact is, it is normal for the Christian to go through battles. And if we don't abide in Him, we will surely struggle in our spiritual battles. So as Jesus was telling the disciples, again, look at what He's saying to them, Brother Kenneth. He's saying that in just a few days I'll be crucified, and all of your hopes and dreams will be dashed. All of the things that you thought were going to take place, you'll see hanging on the cross. And He promised that He would rise again. He was trying to tell them it was going to be all right. But imagine that you are where they are, and the Son of God, the one that you have left everything to follow, is now hanging between two thieves on the cross. And He's laying the groundwork to tell them that once He is gone, and think about this, they have a great battle in the cross, they'll have a great victory in the resurrection of Christ, but then on the back side of that great victory, there comes another battle, there comes another conflict, because Jesus will ascend, and the church, the Christians, those that stand for Christ, are going to be persecuted, some are going to be martyred, they're going to be hated, thrown in prison, and so He's laying the groundwork for what's ahead. Now you this morning, you say, preacher, I'm not going through a battle. Let me say this, I'm not going through a storm. I don't mean to discourage you, keep following God, but you will. You're going to need this message, so put it in your arsenal and say it'll be time one day to bring it up. If we can't love each other, if we don't abide in Him, how can we hope to love a lost world? Listen, may I say this? That what happened yesterday in that Jewish synagogue, I mentioned, it's not Democrat or Republican, it's evil, it's Satan. We have to love, my friend, even that guy. Quiet, hello? We have to love a world that's not going to love us back. And so if we can't love each other, how are we going to love a lost world? If we're not united, how can we expect to survive in the battle? Much of our victory in battle begins before the battle ever begins. If you don't set your mind that you're going to follow God no matter what, my friend, I promise you the devil will put you in that press to the place you'll want to quit on God. And so here the Lord gives us a couple things I believe will be a help to us today. Number one is the command. Notice I said command. That He gives us to love. Verse number 9, He says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." He's saying, as God has loved me, that's how I love you. Now, from this point on, continue in his love. No matter what, listen, no matter what the storm is, no matter what the enemy does, no matter what anyone does to us, he's saying, continue in my love. You know what keeps us going? The love of Christ. I didn't say, Brother Jason, that the love for men always keeps us going. It is the love that Christ expressed toward us that keeps us going sometimes. And so here he tells us in verse number 9, he says, continue. You know what that word tells me? That it's not always going to be easy. It's not. Continue. When it's hard, continue. When nobody loves you, continue. When everybody hates you, continue. When you feel like God is a million miles away, continue. When your life's not going as planned, continue. Amen. Don't stop moving. Keep going. You know what happens when you stop moving? Spiritually, you go backwards. Continue. Keep going, church. Keep going, Christian. Keep going, mom. Keep going, dad. Keep going, sir. Keep going, ma'am. Don't stop. Just keep going. Listen, the quickest way to get out of the storm is to outrun it, praise God. So just keep going. So we continue. We continue in the love of Christ. If all else goes wrong, love God. I love America. You love America. But I love God. Listen, America's been good to me and my family. But you know what? God's been better to me and my family. God's the one put us here. We ought to love God no matter what. Continue to love one another. Listen, I realize we're all messed up. I realize we're all marred. We're all scarred. We're all prone to do the awfulest things. We're all prone to make a mess of our life. But you know what we ought to do? We ought to love each other. The best way to help somebody get out of their storm is to love them when they're in the storm. Now, in the time out, I didn't say condone their sin, but you can love them. You think God condones our sin? Absolutely not. Does he love us? Absolutely. Listen, the best way to help somebody get out of a storm is just keep loving them through the storm. Anybody can turn their back on them when they go through the storm. Stay with them. Keep trying to encourage them. Keep praying for them. Keep putting Christ in front of them. Keep giving them biblical answers. Don't tell them, oh, it's all right. Listen, you're fine. Everybody messes up. Don't you worry about it. No, encourage them to return to Christ. Well, they'll get mad at me. They'll hate me. Well, love them anyway. So we continue to love one another. We continue to serve others. We continue in the Lord's commandments. This, my friend, is your playbook. This is your standard operating procedure. If everything else fails, if every contingency plan is gone, go back to the book, amen? Go back to the Word of God. So continue. Next, you see in this scripture is verse 10, the consequences of obedience. The Bible said, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus is saying, listen, just keep on obeying. Even when things are tough, keep up. Look what he's getting ready to face. He's getting ready to face Calvary. He's getting ready to face the sins of mankind laid on him and the God of heaven judging the sin of mankind in the person of Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 11, verse 10, abide in my love, stay in my love. When we keep his commandments, we abide in his love. Obedience helps us to develop the mind of Christ. Do you think that Christ was insulated from conflict? No, everywhere he went, he had this group that loved him. But he had this group that hated him. He had this group that wanted to exalt him. He had this group that wanted to execute him. Hey, he had this group that wanted to carry him on their shoulders. He had this group that wanted to put him on a cross. I'm saying that what you're going through is not foreign to the Lord Jesus Christ. May I also say that there will be some consequences for being obedient. Let me give you a news flash. Everybody is not going to like you. Everybody's not going to be excited that you choose to live for God. Young person, when you go to school and you decide not to cuss and you decide not to tell dirty jokes and you decide not to look at stuff on the internet you're not supposed to, and when you don't participate in the sin of this world, everybody's not going to clap and say, guess what? Man, we're excited for you. Your teachers probably aren't. Your principal's not. But who cares? You've got the God of heaven on your side. You've got the annals of heaven. You've got all the participants on the other side of glory cheering you on. And you ought to have a mom and dad and a church and some folks that are going to say, just keep living for God. But it's not just in the school. It's in the workplace. It's in the shopping center. It's at the restaurant. My friend, may I say, you and I have got to be each other's cheerleaders, because this world's not going to. So there's a consequence of obedience. You serve God and it's going to be good, but it ain't always going to be easy. And then you see the contentment from Christ in verse 11. These things have I spoken to you. Notice this. He said that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. So he's saying, I'm going to interject joy into you, and with my help, that same joy will remain. How many of you know, don't raise your hand, but Brother Johnny, there are times when people... things are going good in their life, man, they'll stand up in church, raise their hand, and say, oh, God's good, hallelujah. I want to tell you how God blessed me this week. But the moment that the sun doesn't come out, and the moment the birds stop singing, and the moment there's a trial and tribulation in their life, all of a sudden, they're in the back corner, they're heading out the back door, they don't want to praise God, they don't want to be around the things of God. Listen, may I say, there's one thing to have the joy of the Lord, there's another thing for the joy of the Lord to remain. If God is still good in the good times and the bad times, if He never changes, then when we have His joy, then the circumstances of life should not affect our joy.
Amen. Good.
My wife now has a screen thing on her phone that says choose joy. I mean, everywhere I go, I see this same thing. She walked in. There was 2 minutes left in the game. My beloved Gators were down by 21 points. And she said, just turn it off. I said, there's no need now. There's 2 minutes left in the game. They're getting slaughtered. And so I looked at her. I said, I choose joy. I didn't want to choose joy. I wanted to call somebody up and say, we need a quarterback. Amen. Your problems are solved if you get a quarterback. Hallelujah. But there's times in your life when nothing is going to go right, and you have just got to decide that you're going to enjoy your salvation. So there's contentment from Christ. I want to say this real quick. Sometimes Brother Wayne Cofield and Brother Tony Howeth watch our broadcast. If you watch this, they're big Georgia fans. Don't you write stuff on Facebook about me. Don't rub it in, hallelujah. Be like you Carolina fans. There's always next year, amen. Oh, I done went to meddling. I'll hush now, amen. Amen, let's get back to the message, amen. I got your attention though, didn't I? Yes, amen. Number two is the choice. Notice that, the choice of service. Let that sink in a minute. The choice of service, right? The Bible said in verse 14, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. So the Lord didn't say, I'm going to make you. He said, here, you're my friend if you do these things, right? He says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You know what? How many of you, think about this, don't raise your hand, but you go to work, and your boss doesn't tell you everything that goes on in that place. He don't have to. Years ago, when my wife and I first got married, I went And Brother Barry, I worked at the JCPenney warehouse in Statesville. And I was a temp. You may not know what that is. That means there wasn't no jobs. And they had little agencies that you went and said, hey, I need to work. And they say, okay, we'll put you in here. And so all I did all day was unload trucks, throwing boxes. So if you got something from Penny's back in the early 90s, I probably sent it your way. Amen. So you owe me. All day on them boxes. You know the only thing I need to know? When the next truck was coming to the dock. They didn't call me from the front office and say, hey, we're getting ready to make some great financial decisions and we want your input. All they wanted me to do was be in charge and make sure them boxes got off that truck and on that conveyor belt. That's it. But Jason, I didn't care what they was doing in the front office. Didn't concern me. I didn't get paid to make those kind of decisions. I got paid for one thing. Get the box off the truck on the conveyor belt. Pay attention. I'm going to help you. You know what helps some of you? If you'd quit trying to meddle in the front office and just get the box off the truck on the conveyor belt. Do what they pay you to do, and guess what? You probably stay out of more. I'm just going to give them peace of my mind because I don't like the way this is going to. Can I help you with something? If you don't like where you work, go find you another job. Am I on? Is this broke? I mean, they're paying you to do a certain job. If you don't want to do the job they pay you to do anymore, go somewhere else and find another one. Is it not on? Is it sound, guys? Are we muted? Just do it. Well, I've worked there 20 years. Well, if you work there 40 years, they're paying you to do a job. Sure. So do the job they pay you to do. But I don't want to do the job they're paying me to do. Then go find another one. See, the relationship that you have with the company you work at is employer and employee. Right. You are, in essence, you won't like this, but I'm going to tell you, scripturally, it's like you are a servant to that master. So that relationship is not, I'm sharing with you everything that goes on in the organization. It is, I will share with you what you need to know. And so Jesus here, I'm going somewhere, hang with me, don't turn me off. Some of you look at me like, you don't know me, preacher, bless God, I want to know everything. Well, you probably are going to try to know everything, you won't know nothing. So the choice of service is, Jesus is saying, if you want to follow me, it's your choice. You know what? You don't have to get saved. You're not going to enjoy eternity if you don't get saved. But you don't have to get saved. Jesus is not going to drag you into heaven. You do not have to follow him after you get saved. But you're not going to enjoy the journey. You can choose if you want to lay out of church. Preacher, can you be a Christian and not go to church? Yeah. You can. All right, you can't be a good one. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. That means you've got to come where they are. So you can. So it's not a salvation, am I going to heaven issue. It is, after I get saved, am I going to have fellowship with God? Right? Am I going to be more like Christ? So in that, Jesus, the Father could have said, the Son, this is your job, this is your duty, you go down to earth and you die on that cross and that's it. But if you look at the life of Jesus, there was constant fellowship with the Father. Even before this took place, they went to that garden to pray. So the relationship between the Father and the Son was not, you have to do this. It is, you ready for this? I want to please the Father in all things He asks me to do, and so therefore I choose to be His servant, but I'm more than a servant. And Jesus here says this in verse 14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, you ready? You look and you look at your friends and you say, I've got some pretty important friends. I mean, I thought about this the other day. I know some folks, you know some folks, and I like people that even though they have some authority and have some power, whatever you, prestige, they regular folks. You know? It was kind of neat. Several weeks ago, I went down to Atlanta, and a guy I played baseball with in college is the manager for the St. Louis Cardinals. And he just got that position, so me and some guys went to watch the game. And after the game, we went down into the clubhouse, the locker room where the Cardinals are. And we went in there, and we had to sit in a room for a little bit till, you know, they did all their pep talks and all that. And we went in, and Brother Mark, honestly, here's a guy that, I mean, think about this. He's the manager of a Major League Baseball team, and we walk in, hadn't seen him in 20 years, 25 years, and it's just like we was back in college. That's who I want to hang out with. I don't want to hang out with somebody that, because they think they are something, you know, you got to set an appointment to even talk to them on the phone. You with me? And so Jesus is saying this, if you want to be my friend, you got to do what I tell you to do. So we are to serve as friends. That's important. You choose to serve the Lord. So we have a deeper commitment than working for an employer. Remember the employee-employer relationship? I have to go to work. I have to because they're paying me. I've got to clock in at 7. I've got to clock out at 3:30. I only get 30 minutes for lunch. I hate this job, but this is what they pay me to do. There is that relationship, but that's not the relationship you want to have with Christ. The relationship you want to have is not, I got to, ready, but I get to. I don't got to come to church. I get to. I don't got to read my Bible. I get to. I don't got to soul win. I get to. I don't got to give my tithes and offerings. I get to. I don't got to sing in the choir. I get to. I don't got to come to Sunday school. I get to. I don't got to sing in the youth choir. I get to. I'm saying when it changes from a got to a get to, it'll revolutionize your walk with Christ. My friend, He's worthy. Amen. But now the King of Glory desires a friendship with you. So we're to serve as friends, but we are to serve for fruit. I'm gonna bust your bubble here. This walk is not about you. He said in verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. And ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. God didn't save you just to go to heaven. He saved you to produce fruit. Let's go back to the employer-employee relationship. You get hired, right? You go through your HR training, and they say, okay, your first day of work's Monday. And so you do the training process, and they show you all the stuff you do. And a week later, Brother Barry, you come in the first full day of work, and here's what you do. Ready? 7 o'clock start time. Supposed to be on the line at 7 o'clock. And you walk in the break room 7 o'clock, and you go, this is what I'm going to do all day. Right? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit in the break room all day. You're going to pay me. Because you are very honored to have me as your worker. Come on. I mean, it's so good for you, for me to be your worker, that I'm just going to sit here because there's no way you'd fire me. You are blessed to have me. You know what happened to you? They'd probably show you the door. But you ready for this? That's what a lot of Christians do. Because they show up for church, sit in a church pew, never do anything for God. Just sit there and go, you know what, Lord? You sure are lucky to have me.
Come on, preacher.
You know what, church? You sure are lucky to have me. I'm not going to do anything I don't want to do around here because guess what? You need me. Can I just take a time out and get plain? 16 years of pastor, there's been a lot of folks come through here. And they wrote it, you need me. I'm going to hold you over barrel, preacher. You know what, Brother Danny? I got enough redneck in me. I just nobody hold me over barrel. I had a lady in my, this has probably been 10 years ago, came in my office. She played piano, and she's like, I'm just going to tell you this. If we don't do this, I'm not playing piano anymore. And we're leaving the church. I mean, I want you to stay, but that's we're going to do it this way. You with me? And some people just, they think in their marriage, in their job, in their church, in their walk with the Lord, well, I'm so important that you better treat me different. Because if I decide not to be a part of whatever you're doing, Brother Mark, we've had people come in. I remember this. Early on, we had some guys. They gave a lot of money to the church. And they said this, preacher, we want you to do this. And I said, no. Basically, what they wanted a say-so in who I had come preach. I said, no, sir. Ain't going to happen. We're going to get who God tells me to get, and that's the way it's going to be. You can suggest, but if I don't think it's God, we're not getting them. Well, you know if we leave this church, it's going to go under. And God ever... You know what? Honestly, financially, our church is strongest it's been 16 years. It's all God. Brother Jay, there's times we'd sat back in that office, man, we had $2,000 in the bank. It takes $25,000 a month for this place to operate. Buddy, I'll tell you what. I'm glad we got some godly deacons and trustees because there was a pastor. I was going, yeah, how are you? But God's faithful. And he's saying, we want to get you past this idea of I'm here to be your servant and you're lucky to have me to where there is such a sweet relationship between you and God that you desire to serve God. And it's not just that you show up because you got to, but you realize that as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, our responsibility is to produce fruit. Be fruitful. Man, that's good. God wants us to... He wants us to produce fruit in our service. You know what? You go to work and you make widgets. You know, they'd always do that in school. They'd say, well, you go to this, and they, Brother Charles, you make widgets. Now, well, what's a widget? Well, it could be anything. Well, what is it? Well, it could be anything you want it to be. Well, just tell me what I need. So if I want to go to a factory to making hamburgers, let's call them hamburgers, not widgets, right? I like making you hungry. Amen. So if you go to your company and you make hamburgers, but you just sit there and don't make any hamburgers, you're not producing any fruit, right? If you say you love Jesus and you don't do anything to produce any kind of fruit, you're kind of getting paid for nothing, aren't you? Our conflict is coming. I'm heading there. But we have to have a sweet relationship with Christ that it's not just our responsibility, it's our privilege. Jesus is telling his disciples all this because they're getting ready to face a great conflict in verses 18 through 27. And he's trying to set the stage and saying, listen, you're not greater than your master. You're not greater than I am. And though I have these conflicts, guess what? You're going to have them. My friend, 2,000 years later, we're going to have them. We're not greater than those early disciples. We're not greater than those Christians in the Middle East that are being persecuted for Christ. We're not greater than our own Master, Jesus Christ. So what I'm saying today, listen, and I'm done, is you are going to have conflict. You're going to have trials, but you're not the only one. So the conflict with this world, verses 18 through 27, I'll give you four quick things. I'm not even going to expound on them. Ready? First of all, we are not insulated from conflict. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're not going to have conflict. Next, we are not to be insulted by conflict. Well, preacher, you know, why am I going through this? Why not? Why not? Jesus went through it. Hey, don't feel like God has left you because you're going through a conflict, because Jesus went through it. And there's no time that He and the Father in those hours were not one. So don't be insulted because you're going through a conflict. You're not better than I am. I'm not better than you are. We go through conflicts, right? Next, we are not isolated from conflict. You're not the only one. Listen, for generations, Christians have gone through conflict. Christians greater than you and I put together have gone through conflict, have gone through storms. So greater Christians, we're going to go through these conflicts. So we're not isolated from them. Just because you're saved doesn't mean the storms don't happen. And then finally, we are instructed in conflict. The Bible said in verse 26 and 27, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me." So we are the witness. We have the witness of the Holy Spirit. And we're instructed to serve the Lord in conflict. They just sang it, God on the mountain. Is the God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. See, it's down in the valley where your faith is truly put to the test. So this morning, you're going to have struggles. You're going to have trials. You're going to have things that aren't fair. All right? But you're not the only one. You're not alone. You're not by yourself. The Lord Jesus, it wasn't fair. You think it's fair for all that was done to Him? You think it's fair even when He stood before Pilate and Pilate said, I don't find anything. They said, crucify Him anyway. Kill Him anyway. Was it fair, Brother Jason, that instead of Jesus Christ, the crowd chose Barabbas? A criminal? Was it fair that he died the death of a common thief in between two thieves? Was it fair that all of your sin and all of my sin was placed on Him that day and God judged Him instead of judging you? I'm just saying this morning, folks, that the challenge, it's a challenge. It's not easy. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you it's easy, but it's doable with Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. Let's bow our head, close our eyes. Everyone standing, please. Thank you for your attention. I want to ask you, as we were preaching, some of you think this morning, you think of, man, this message is just for me because I'm going through a storm, I'm going through a trial in my life. Maybe today, as we were preaching, you were thinking, you know what, I don't know Him as my Savior. If I died this morning, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Can I ask you to do this? No one's looking around. We won't come to you. I want to pray for you. If you don't know for sure that you'd go to heaven when you died, will you slip your hand up and just say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. I don't know that I'd go to heaven when I die. Will you do that? You just put it up, put it right back down. Is there one? Is there one? Maybe this morning you just need to come and get on the altar. There's many on the altar this morning. Because you are going through the greatest trial you've ever... It may not even be the greatest trial. You say, I don't even feel like it's worth me going up there. You know what? If it's a big deal to you, it's a big deal to God. Preacher, I've got some trials, but I'll be honest with you, they're not big ones. They may not be to you, but they might be to somebody. You may look and say, I got some trials in my life, but I tell you what, I don't know how to handle them. Cast them at His feet. Can I tell you this morning? You know what would help some folks in this auditorium? The same thing it helps some folks in some other auditoriums. You ready? I'm going to get plain with you. You need to put your stinking pride away. You need to quit being so brave, putting up your front, and just get on your face before God and say, God, I can't handle it. Because there will be a time in your life where you try to handle it and handle it and handle it, that the weight is going to be crushing to you. And then when you can't handle it then, you probably won't come to God then. Oh yeah, if it gets bad enough. Really? Because you look at the tribulation and all the wrath of God being poured out on this world, they're still cursing God. Whole lot easier just to go ahead and take care of it before it gets bad. It's your choice. It's your choice. It's going to play through one more time. If you're here today and you don't know for sure, you go to heaven when you die. If you'll come, we'll take the Word of God and show you how you can know. You'll have no greater joy than to know.